2015, I had just lost a $500,000 business. And I went home, looked at a red Fiat 500, despair and misery and just distraught. I ripped the seats out of it.
Okay.
I put a bed in there and a dresser and some fans, and I hit the road. And with no real destination, I just started heading northeast.
Hey, everybody. This is Kyle Sasser. This is Great Things Tampa Bay. And today, we have an interview with Robert Blackledge. And he is very active in the local entrepreneur and veterans community. He's a very high-energy guy, a whole lot of fun. And I'm probably going to be spending a week with him on the startup bus, which is this cool thing. Anyway, I don't want to ruin the whole interview. Give it a listen, and I hope you like it. Hey, everybody. Kyle Sasser here, and this is the Great Things Tampa Bay podcast. I'm here with Robert Blackledge. He is the founder and CEO of CourseAlign, also heavily involved in the Tampa Bay startup and entrepreneur community. He's also the current Florida Startup Bus conductor, part of Veterans of Florida, organizer of Biz Sprints, and also has a very dashing beard.
So, thank you.
Yep, if you'd like to say hello there, Robert.
Hello.
There we go. Well, so we're getting together today because you're very active in the startup and entrepreneur community. Do you just kind of want to give us a brief overview of what got you started in that?
Well, it's a really interesting story. In 2015, I had just lost a $500,000 business. And I went home, looked at a red Fiat 500.
Mm-hmm. Nice car.
Oh, yeah. I actually really enjoy the car.
Mm-hmm.
But I was lost. I didn't know what to do. And so really out of, I don't even know how to explain it, but, despair and misery and just distraught, I ripped the seats out of it.
Okay.
I put a bed in there and a dresser and some fans, and I hit the road. And with no real destination, I just started heading northeast.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove and drove as far as I could until I hit this town called Lubeck, which is it's the most eastern city in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a ferry. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get on this ferry. And I hop on a ferry, and it actually took me up into Canada. And in Canada, there's roads of blacktop that just stretch as far as the eye can see. Spruce trees that reach for the sky and mountain ranges that go on forever. And there I just drove and forever, what felt like forever, until the road turned to dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove until the road ended, where I got out of my car, put my hands on the door, and stared up into a mountain that reached for the sky. And standing there, I thought to myself, I'm like, I did not just drive all this way to get stopped by a mountain.
Yeah.
And so I grabbed my bag and I put it on my back and I started up that mountain, one hand over the other, reaching up and climbed up that mountain through trails that were overgrown with trees that barely had enough room for me to go through. This path that was kind of like the Secret Garden, if you've ever seen
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Pushing my way through, and out the other side I came out, and there was ocean that just stretched forever with waves crashing on a marbled stone coastline with grass that stretched out with this little coast there. And there were some ruins, and it was very overcast, and I really didn't know what to think. It was beautiful, but it was sad.
Yeah.
So I stayed there for a little bit and eventually turned around and headed back up the mountain. And when I came over the top, it was the most beautiful sight I'd ever seen. The sky was on fire. The ocean outstretched, just a lit with the sunset and mountain ranges that reached forever. And I had this epiphany
mm-hmm.
and the realization that in my life I had chased money. and I had lost everything in a moment and been left with nothing but the ruins, like the ruins on the beach behind me.
Yeah.
And in life, you can pursue money and be left with nothing, or you could pursue passion.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I decided to pursue my passion. And my passions are entrepreneurship and education.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I have lost more businesses than I had ever had before. But each one was a progression on the last, and a personal growth in the relationships that I gained have really grown me as a person. And I would not regret that. And I encourage others now to pursue their passions in life.
Yeah, it's true. You cannot be afraid of failure, because, you know, like, you honestly, you never really know whenever you're starting something if it's going to be a success or a failure. So you just kind of have to go into it, you know, fully expecting that maybe it's going to fail, but you're going to learn something along the way and then apply that on the next venture.
Yeah, it's something interesting about passion. And I live by an ethos now of persistent passion and intentional serendipity, where it's kind of like caring about sports.
Mm-hmm.
You can care about your sports team. You can even be persistent with it and watch them every Sunday. But the really amazing thing doesn't happen until you start putting that intent in the world, where you tweet at the football players or the sport team players, you go to the games, and then serendipity, the world comes back and you meet the players, or you go to the dugout, and the really amazing things, because the world responds when you put that intent and you are persistent with your passion.
It's very true. It's very true. So you went into the wilderness.
I did.
Shall we say, a walkabout, almost.
You know, I think we're lost. I think our ancestors knew something when they sent our youth into the wild.
Yeah, and just personally, my niece is currently on sort of one. She did the same thing, tore the back seats out of a car, and they made it all the way up to Alaska. About the same year, honestly. So, and she's still, you know, tooling around out west and stuff, you know, figuring out what she wants to do. So, of course, you know, that upsets the parents and all that, but yeah, whatever. It's like, eh, they'll be fine. They'll figure it out just like the adults figured it out.
Yeah. I think the big takeaway for me was that you have to find that thing that keeps smacking you in the face, that that passion, and then water it, right? Your passion, a lot of people see the end results, right?
Yeah.
They see the forest, but no one sees the seeds that were laid.
An overnight success that took, you know, 8 years in the making.
Correct. And so what's important is to be persistent and water that seed over time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's a sapling, then you plant it in the forest and let it grow. And then the world starts raining on it and growing that tree.
Yeah. Like, my personal mantra that I use for the podcast or business is no zero days. Like, every day, whatever my goal is, I make sure that I at least make some incremental step towards it.
You know, it doesn't have to be big.
Yeah.
It can be so minute. But that one little push, that going to that meeting, going to be where I am today, the amount of astronomical odds that had to have happened to occur to get me to where I am, I I count my blessings all the time. It's really incredible.
The only way to guarantee a failure is to never start in the first place.
Absolutely.
So cool. So you found your passion. And what was the next step on your journey after that?
Yeah, so I actually spent 2 years growing my passion, going after the education system. So I graduated with an MBA and thought I could then go get a job, right? So I looked at job board after job board that had entry-level jobs, and I found something really interesting. They required experience.
Yeah.
How do you have an entry-level job requiring 1 to 2 years experience? So I started a company to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
If the problem's experience,
yeah,
I'll hire people right out of these programs, train them, and then we can give them the experience they need so they can then get the job.
Yeah.
But what I discovered was they didn't even have the skills to do the job. So from there, I shut that down, started teaching, and realized that teaching was just going to be too slow. I developed a course in Python for data science, but it was 7 people, 12 weeks of training, and it wasn't very scalable.
Yeah.
So while I was developing that process, thinking about how to grow that, how to develop that, I ended up moving to Tampa. I was working on a second master's at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was supposed to come to Tampa and just sit at the pool and do my homework. And, you know, I have this entrepreneurial mindset. I had several companies, and sitting by the pool only lasted about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I ended up going to 1 Million Cups, which mm-hmm. is an incredible pulse on the community. Really shows you what's going on in the entrepreneurship community. And I went to the one here locally at Eden Ebor at the Entrepreneur Collaborative Center. And this is where serendipity comes into play. Just so happened that Operation Startup, a local veteran entrepreneur effort, happened to be pitching that day. I'm a veteran. I'm an entrepreneur. I was like, how can I get involved? They're great. Come be an entrepreneur in residence. I have this uncanny ability to see the landscape and identify the gaps and how we can fill them.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw all these great resources that help veterans get their ideas up off the ground, give them a good foundation, get a few customers, get started. But then they have a gap or a wall that they hit and didn't know how to get over. So being brand new to Tampa, I started an annual event. It was really amazing. I had over 100 community members come together, fund an event that moved 10 veteran entrepreneur businesses forward. And that really inspired me. It showed me the community that was here in Tampa that supported the entrepreneurs and really inspired me to pursue my own ideas and pursue being involved in the entrepreneurship community here in the Tampa Bay area. And then I heard about this really incredible thing called Startup Bus. And having this idea about the education system and having tried a couple different ways to address the issues that I was having with my education, which actually was really phenomenal. I had never really saw any value in my undergraduate, but my graduate program was practical application of theory, and I had received tremendous value of it and could not understand why I wasn't able to get a role in an organization doing it until I went and saw the problem firsthand. Is that it was a gut reaction that from the fact that these employers were seeing people exiting education systems without the skills they needed to do the jobs. You know, and now I know that 89% of employers feel that graduates do not have the skills to fill the openings that they have. So I went on the bus, and it was the purest, most organic entrepreneur experience I had ever been on. It literally is the combination of a hackathon and a startup weekend. And if you don't know what those are, those are essentially a group of people. A startup weekend is a group of people in a room, an auditorium typically, and they're typically strangers. One at a time, they have an idea, they pitch it to the group, and if people like it, they work with them over the 24, 48-hour period
mm-hmm.
to get as much traction on the idea and then pitch it back to the group. Well, someone thought it'd be a cool idea to do that on a bus while it travels across the country and then pitch in a destination city,
mm-hmm.
while there are a bunch of other buses all across North America doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So my bus last year, we had 7 other buses, so 8 altogether, traveling across North America, headed towards New Orleans, where we pitched against each other.
Yep, and you can hear this process because it was on Gimlet Media, right?
It was Gimlet Media, did a 5-part series on their startup podcast for Startup Bus. It was really incredible, and it truly captures the experience. Really phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
This year we're doing it again, April 27th.
My birthday.
May 1st. Yep. You're going to be on the bus with us.
I'm tagging along on this experience.
Yeah, I'll be conducting. I'm the lead conductor, which is a really humbling experience for me to be able to give back in that way. And really help a whole nother generation of busapreneurs through that experience.
Mm-hmm. And there's how many people on the bus usually?
At least 30.
Yeah, so 30 people, tight space,
yep.
3 days, very heated and emotional, you know, because you're talking about people's babies and, you know, they're tied to their ideas. And
yeah, I like to think of it as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to fail without consequence.
Yeah.
Right? It's caffeine-fueled, lack of sleep, high intensity, but we take you across the country, we provide you with guidance and mentorship, and we stop at some of the country's natural wonders and cultural hotspots. So this year we're looking at stopping in Atlanta, which has an incredible tech hub, mm-hmm. Nashville, which has some incredible cultural hotspots, and really bringing in that community that exists in the tech environment and exposing you to more than really what you see in most of your life.
Yeah.
And you get hyper connected into that community as you mm-hmm. travel across the country.
Yeah. And on the Gimlet shows, I heard they followed the New York bus and they would stop and kind of like give pitches along the way to kind of refine their ideas to like local business owners and people in the community. Right. And they Absolutely. Would give them honest and sometimes, you know, harsh feedback that, you know, the idea needs to be refined further, which is invaluable because a lot of times you get tied onto this idea and, it, you know, it's not going to work or it's too broad. You need to narrow it down. And
so a lot of these individuals that are on the bus aren't entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
They're your coworker. They're your designer. They're your first time developer right out of school.
Mm-hmm.
They're, oddly enough, your retired executive who mm-hmm. has been working for years looking to explore something new. And it really gives them the opportunity to work collaboratively with a diverse group of individuals and be exposed to a lot of different point of views. It's really eye-opening and really amazing to get that exposure, to have to work hard and fail fast. And you, again, in life, you don't get those opportunities to fail and then pick up and then move again and then fail and then pick up and then move again.
Yeah.
And this gives you an opportunity. Essentially, it's the first year of a startup mm-hmm. in 1 week.
Yeah.
You know, we call it the boot camp MBA. It's like the Navy SEALs training. Mm-hmm. It is that intense. But your personal growth on that experience and on that road trip is like no other.
Yeah, and I'll be documenting the process, and we'll probably be doing a series, I would imagine, just, you know, similar to Gimlet's, but focused on the Tampa group.
Since Florida. So yeah. We actually already have people coming from Atlanta. It's really the
okay.
Southeast.
Okay, so Southeast.
Lot of people.
But I'm gonna call it the Tampa bus.
Yeah, Atlanta, Miami, all across the region. It's gonna be really phenomenal. We're gonna be meeting with the buses from New York and St. Louis and across the region as well. And then we'll end up in New Orleans during Collision Con, which is mm-hmm. really cool. We have some cross pollination. Some of the judges will be some of the speakers from Collision
awesome.
Con.
Awesome.
So
that's
it's
awesome.
Really, really cool. The whole power of this is at the end of the day, the people you meet.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring in a lot of the tech community and really get you some friends. I have friends all across the country from all different sectors of life, and it's really, really incredible.
Yeah. So you have so you found the passion, and then you had your idea, and then you took that idea on Startup Bus. So where is that idea now?
Yeah. So Course Align has really evolved into a amazing company. We use artificial intelligence on the job market so that educators can align their curriculum to meet employer demand. Essentially, what we found is that 89% of employers feel that educators don't have the 89%, let's cut that. What we found was that 89% of employers feel that graduates do not have the skills they need to meet employer demand.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at the education system, talked to deans, talked to professors, and tried to find out why this was happening.
Yeah.
And what we found was the way they developed curriculum was extremely manual. They literally go out and talk to employers, come back and discuss what that means and how to develop a curriculum. Mm-hmm. It can take 2+ years to analyze a market.
Yeah, and it almost sounds like sort of like the old trades, you know, the trade schools. Like, you know, if you have like the shipyards here, if they notice that the graduates aren't able to do certain types of welds, a lot of times, you know, they'll go to the trade schools or the union or whatever, and be like, hey, this is what we need. Please focus on that. But yes, it's a very
extremely manual process, which worked when you had 40 employees and a few thousand jobs. But when now you have 4,000 employees plus and 40,000 plus openings, you can't find out the aggregate of those job needs. So by using modern technology, we aggregate all those employers' needs, and then we identify those needs to the universities. And we also take it a step beyond that, and we actually analyze and we look at what the university is teaching. And that does some really, really powerful things. We can identify where the mismatch is so they can make immediate adjustments. It identifies the parts of the curriculum that do not need to change because as a whole, they don't change over time. And we can provide them the ability to stay in tune with their accreditation. Now, this is important because over 50% of their funding comes from state and federal sources.
Yeah.
And in recent years, over 30 states in the United States have passed laws, Florida included, that require them to align their curriculum to the market need or lose their operating budget.
Okay.
That's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And in response, they're spending $1 billion nationally on market assessment.
Yeah.
And they still can't align it because they're using manual processes to do it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely the old, you know, it worked. It worked back in the day, so let's just keep doing it. Sort of thing.
It's, you know, it's the monkey and the banana with the hose story.
And honestly, like, it's not like a general education will really only get you so far. Like, most career paths are so specialized nowadays, you know, for like, you know, just on the IT side that I can think of, you know, you have network engineers, database administrators, data warehousing and analytics and all, you know, all of these very particular things, and it's all under the IT umbrella, but tremendously different skill sets.
It is.
To be successful at each of those.
We have no desire to really tell them how to develop curriculum. Our goal is to give them better information so that when they develop curriculum and as they develop curriculum, mm-hmm. they're more in tune with the market need. In my mind, though, I see it that they'll be able to identify the pieces of the market that don't change over time, right? Because when you look at computer science, the core of it is ones and zeros.
Yeah.
We still need to teach the ones and zeros. But those specific curriculum pieces that are attuned to the database management, right? Mm-hmm. The tools change.
Yes.
So that last semester, the capstone projects, they need to be tied directly to the jobs that the students are applying for today.
Yeah.
And the problem is, if it takes 2 years to find out what those employers need,
mm-hmm.
how are you ever going to make a capstone that meets that needs?
Yeah, and especially in tech because it moves so fast.
Right. Course Align tells them today what that job is and what they're hiring for.
Yeah.
So as part of being in a startup in the Tampa Bay area, it has given me an incredible opportunity to really engage the startup community and really be a part of the Tampa Bay entrepreneur community. I have had the opportunity to help organize the Startup Week, the Biz Sprint, which is a veteran-focused event. We're going to be participating in Synapse Florida, which is a huge aggregate of essentially national entrepreneurial efforts, local entrepreneur efforts. It's a connection between everything that's going on in the Tampa Bay area. So I highly recommend you attend that.
Yeah.
What's really, really impressive is that Tampa Bay is starting to recognize that there are all these really incredible events in the Tampa Bay area, and that entrepreneurs or people that are interested in entrepreneurship or want to be involved in it are coming and engaging in these different pieces. Tampa Bay Wave, Operation Startup, startup week, and they don't know where to go next.
Yep.
So we're starting to create the bridges that connect you and guide you into the next piece. If you're at this stage in your entrepreneurship journey, this is probably where you want to head next. Yeah. This is how you get to here. This is where you head. And so those resources are starting to come online, starting to help you bridge those gaps, yeah, starting to help you connect it.
Let's start here. So if you were didn't know anything or anybody,
sure,
what would be your first step into entrepreneurship to take advantage of the tools that you now know about? What would be your first step from if you were starting from zero?
So I really like 1 Million Cups.
Okay.
So 1 Million Cups is an event that I go to every Wednesday morning. And that is the heart of the entrepreneurship community. The networking that happens there changes every week. That's what's powerful about that event. Every week there's a different group of people that go there. There's a core group that tends to show up every week, but there's a percentage that changes out regularly. And then that ties you into that network of resources that are there. The one in Ybor is at the Entrepreneur Collaborative Center, which is a county resource that has all sorts of events throughout the week that you can gain information on how to get started, do social media, all sorts of different pieces of the puzzle that you can get access to. From there, there's events like Startup Weekends, Hackathons. Startup Week is once a year. There are an organization that will be hosting events throughout the year as well. Mm-hmm. The Synapse is a major event that's coming. That's coming up on the 28th and the 29th. And then just keep on paying attention to different events. There's Hillsboro Homebrew that happens once a month at the end of the month.
Okay. And we're gonna have links to all this in the show notes. So
absolutely.
So that people can connect with this. If someone wants to connect with you, what's the best way to do so?
If you search my name, I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, all the major social media accounts. You can definitely connect with me.
Yeah.
I have over almost 8,000 LinkedIn connections.
Nice.
So you can definitely leverage that.
Yeah. Course Align's website is?
CourseAlign.io.
All right.
Yeah.
And yeah, was there anything that you wanted me to ask that I forgot or didn't ask?
No, I think we covered everything. I think the most important thing is that to be persistent in your passion and then put that intent into the world, and serendipity will happen.
Yep, I believe it. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Pleasure, absolutely.
And yeah, check out the show notes. We're going to have links to all of the resources that we talked about. And yeah, if you've been kicking an idea around, it'll probably be a little bit too late to get on this startup bus.
No.
Well, this is going to come out like a week or two, so it might probably be...
No.
Oh, okay.
You can get on the bus morning of.
Okay, so the bus is leaving on my birthday, April 27th, 2018. So, yeah, put your applications in.
Get on that bus.
Yep.
Jump on there.
Yeah, and if you just have an idea, like, don't wait around. Just start taking baby steps towards it.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Every little step that you take towards it, you will be amazed at how much the world responds.
Yep. It's good stuff. Thanks so much, Robert.
Yeah, it was always a pleasure.
All right.
And now, here is your fact. Hershey's makes over 1 million miles of Twizzlers every year. And definitely, you know, the red licorice versus the black licorice. I got to go with the black. I'm sorry. So I hope you enjoyed that interview. And fact, we're going to play out today with music from Carlos Strong. He's a music producer and doing some amazing work. He's based out of Tampa. So this track is called Heartbreak. But before we get to that, just want to let you know a couple things. One, if you're looking for your own great place in Tampa Bay, I am also a local realtor, in addition to being a 40-year native, and I would love to work with you and help you find or sell your home here in Tampa Bay. So you can reach out to me at my email, which is Kyle, K-Y-L-E, at greatthingstb.com. That's GREATTHINGSTB.com. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it does cost me a couple $100 a month just for the editing and the hosting and all that good stuff. So if you'd like to help out, just go to the website, greatthingstb.com. tb.com, and there is an Amazon link there. Just click on that and shop on Amazon as you would normally, and throws a couple bucks in my account to help offset the costs of editing and hosting this. I'd like to thank you for tuning in. I'd like to ask you to share this with one or two of your best friends. Show them how to listen to a podcast, how to subscribe, and to keep up to date. And I'd also like for y'all just to stop by the website. And we have some forums there where we're talking about local things. And, you know, we have places to eat and things to do. All sorts of good information. So that's the website, again, is greatthingstb.com. So once again, this is Carlos Strong. And the name of this track is Heartbreak.
Taking all the pain that a man can take. Now my mind is spinning, my heart is heavy. Just let me run away from all the hurt that I've endured. While giving love you wasn't giving me, I never really understood. 'Cause I tried to make it work, but it ain't worth it. So I gotta leave before it gets too late. 'Cause I can't take another heartbreak. I can't take another heartbreak. I can't. Have to take it this far. I gave you everything, everything I had to give. This time I'm leaving, never to return again. 'Cause I tried to make it work.